Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the beginning of a new year. We thank you, dear God, for the miracles that are represented here. If we could just sort of collect ourselves and realize that however many of us there are in this class right now, God, that we are just trophies of your grace. We're shining lights to your glory. It's true. You love us. You love Ed Germain. You love me. And you reach out and you hold me. And Lord, there are surges and there are non-surges. But Lord, any glimmer of light I have, Lord, I'll retain and I'll hold it. And I'll walk in the dark and I'll walk by faith because I want to be with you. Lord, please be with us in this course. Lord, I can't make anything happen. It's not my responsibility. Lord, the Holy Spirit is, I call upon you to send your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus to reach hearts in this class. Lord, that we've got a track record in the past. I don't rely on that, but I know I rely on you. And I ask, God, that you meet folks in this course, people in these seats now, for your glory and for their good. And praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. My name is Ed Germain. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm just trying to explain. Now, the reason I say my name is Ed Germain instead of Ed Germain is because I'm in the South, and I have learned something. If I say, hi, my name is Ed Germain, I get mail to Edger Man. And and sometimes I get mail to Ed McMahon at Columbia Barber College. And all that's the truth. Most people love this course. And I'm part of the most people. And there's lots of reasons. For your sakes, or for the people out there who like this course, is because apparently that there are truths that people haven't heard, liberating truths. This course is a course in victorious Christian living, in authentic Christian living. It's an orientation course. That you're never going to, it's gonna, unlike any other orientation course you've ever had. Because it's not, this is the library, I'm Mr. Germain, this is an auditorium, don't put your feet on the seats, don't chew gum, it's not like that at all. It's an orientation, a real deep orientation to a life of victory in Christ. Now I'm telling you, I don't want anybody to, I want everybody to stay 4 years or 1 year for a certificate or 2 years for an AA or however long, I want you to stay as long as the Lord wants you to stay. But I'm telling you, I'm giving you a guarantee, no money back, but a guarantee, that if you give yourself to this course, if you just sit back and listen with an open heart and an open mind, if you left after this semester, you have a changed life, you've got the tools for an absolute changed life, because I'm going to give you a lot of truth. We're going to laugh a lot in this course because I'm a funny kind of guy. And I don't know how to preach right. I don't know how to teach right. And so I just kind of do it my way, and apparently it's very funny. And so we'll just keep that up. I tell you why I love this course. A couple of reasons. I never get tired of the truths that I know. I never go through this course without learning a gazillion more truths. God always brings me to my knees every time I teach this course and tells and reminds me of what I used to know and what I used to promise. And equal to all that, and you say, well, gee, it shouldn't be equal, Mr. Germain, but it is. Equal to all that is that I love being with you people. And you can ask the seniors and the juniors and the sophomores. Even though the seniors and the juniors and the sophomores are pretty cool people. But I love being with new people. Because I have a new person mentality. I can't get rid of it. I couldn't get rid of it. I tried. I certainly am not going to try. I am madly in love with God. And I'm a Presbyterian. Oxymoron. I'm a frozen chosen who jumps around, but I am I am madly in love with God. I'm just going to tell you, I love God. And I'm very, I've got roots down, and I love God. I don't, my roots aren't that thick, and I love God. No, I love God. My roots are deep, and I love God. And I love being, I'm excited about God. I'm just excited about God. I'm not excited about God because I love being excited about God. Right? I'm just excited about God. And then I love being excited about God. I love being around people coming in here. Grad school or the Bible college. I love it because you people are excited about God. Now, frankly, many of the seniors and juniors and sophomores are excited about God. More than not. But the thing is, you guys have a special energy, a special excitement. You're desperate. You're scared. You took the risks. Everything is fresh for you people. And that's how I live. And so I love hanging around you people. Now, if you can retain your love and excitement about God and about the truths, I'd be glad to hang around you when you're sophomores and juniors and seniors. As a matter of fact, I'm the senior class advisor because I found a bunch of people who are still excited about God. But that's why I love teaching this course. We'll get to this in a second. You're going to get to know me. I'm going to get to know you. You're going to know me more than I'm going to know you. Now, let me try to explain that a bit. I'm not used to it. We're taping this here, by the way, folks. We're taping this here, and Brian Byers is paying for it. But it's a long story. You don't care, but we're taping this here. And it's good because when you miss your one class, you can actually hear it because you're not going to want to miss much, I hope. But we'll have it available. But I can't, you know, sing and dance and do all that stuff on all over again because you say, what'd you say? Well, I missed class, Mr. Man. What'd you say? And I just can't go through it all. What was I saying before I got off that? You're going to get to know me a lot more than I'm going to get to know you, but I want to make you a deal here. I'll make you a deal. You can get to know me because I'm going to be telling stories about myself. I'm making illustrations like Mr. McQuilkin. You know, I'm going to be doing all kinds of jazz. So I'm going to be very vulnerable. And some of you are not going to like me. Nah, that's historical unless, you know, this is the perfect class. Maybe if it's the perfect class, none of you would like me. I don't know. But some of you are not going to like me, but at least you're going to know who I am. At least you're going to know who you don't like. And some of you hopefully will like me. So I'll be out here. Now, what I'm saying to you is there are 1,000 people here at this school. There's only one, you know, there's 1,000 people. I am friends. I mean that sincerely. I am friends with many of the 1,000 students. Enough. And I would love, and they're gonna, a lot of them they keep graduating, these people. It's like this, you know, you keep filling up the cup and it keeps pouring out, right? You know, and I'm always looking for new friends. And so I would like to be to you who I can be to you. Some of you don't need a friend. Some of you don't want a friend. Those people who you think you don't need a friend, you don't want a friend, you need a friend more than anybody else. Let me tell you something. But I am here to be to you what I can be to you. And I mean that sincerely. But that means you're going to have to pursue me. Because when you check it out, when I go bolting out of my office, and sometimes I drink a cup of coffee at 8 o'clock in the morning, and by 10 I'd love to use the restroom, but I don't get there to chapel because I make three tries to get out there, and as soon as I get out of my office, it's, Mr. German, I'm waiting to see you, and they grab me, and I can't, by the time, they 5 minutes, and then, I'm not late for the next appointment, isn't that right? And so, take the initiative with me, I'm telling you right now, if anybody wants to get, if you want to be intimate, I would love to be intimate. I'd love to be friends. But take a little initiative. Whether you're a talker or you're shy, whether you have something to say, whether there's a crisis or not a crisis, make an appointment. I've got 8, 9, 10 appointment times at least open every week. Half-hour shots to say, I don't have a problem. I just want you to know me. And that'd be very, very cool. All right? So, there are going to be some strange people other than yourselves showing up in this classroom. They'll have suits and ties on occasion, and they'll look funny. They'll look like administrators or teachers or things. Don't be shook by them. The fact of the matter is that this is such a key course in the school about what the school stands for that a lot of the administrators, a number of the administrators, and whomever, hoo-ha's around here, have heard the excitement of the students, and some of the students work for the school, And they're telling these people who work here, you know, have you ever had that course that your man teaches? And he said, no, your man teach a course? I didn't know that. And but anyway, it's kind of an exciting, growing time. And so a lot of folks are going to come in here and sit in and say, I really want to know what this guy says. So don't be shook. Okay. Lastly, before we quickly go over to syllabus, you guys have a real treat. I almost don't have to teach this course this year because of the 75th. Here in Mr. McQuilkin up here, I grew up spiritually. I've been here 15 years under Mr. McQuilkin. And my heart leapt for joy hearing the old boy talking today. And I used to get that. I sat here like you did, sat under him. And it was just wonderful. So what you're going to get is the 75th. You're very fortunate. And I won't tell this to the next, I won't say this next year. But you're very fortunate you didn't miss this by a year. You're very blessed people for whatever reason. I do not know. But it's going to be a great year. All right, let me go through the stuff. I know Brother Bradley went through the stuff. Does anybody? Yes, somebody. There's always somebody. Oh, let me see. I have to. Tina, could you please, since I'm attached, and I don't want to lose my attachment to this class, if you need a syllabus, please raise thy King James hand. Now, you know what I just did? I just told everybody next year we're taping that I wouldn't tell them. What an idiot. You'd think a guy from New York would do a little better than that. All right. I'm just going to jump in, and you won't miss much. All right? You won't miss much. All right, on the front page, I want to go over AFGHI. AFGHI. And tell you what the purpose of the class is. Pardon me, the course. The purpose of the course is. A is to demonstrate understanding and ownership of the CBC triad of total life training. That's the least of really what we're doing here, but we're doing it. This school is really very, 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 very different than other schools. And it's like other schools used to be. There's something called character, spirituality, something called spiritual formation that we're interested in here. We're not just, you know, I've gone to schools and I've gone to places where all I had to do, even in Christendom, all I had to do was get, I could pass tests. I graduated. I even graduated decently. But did it change my life? Did I incorporate it into my life? Did the school care whether or not, if the school had a standard to drink or not to drink or this, that, and the other thing, and I broke it, did they do anything? No. Was there any integrity building in me? No. But I passed the course and I knew what Christ said. And they thought I was a fine Christian. The triad here is academics. It is the foundation. It's good stuff. God wants us, and we're going to be talking about this here. God wants you people and me. God wants us to know a whole bunch of stuff. And if you don't know the whole bunch of stuff, how are you going to respond in faith if you don't know anything? He wants you to know some stuff. And he wants you to know it deep. He wants you to know it. But it doesn't stop there, you know. He wants you to incorporate it into your life. And that's what we talk about, the spiritual formation, the character. Now, I can't give you a test, folks, on that. I can't say, Doug, are you? Or I can't say, Tina, are you? And you know, I can't give you a test. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to turn my head. And if I know you're aping up, that doesn't mean I'm not going to come and throw you out. If I know you're aping up, I'm going to get involved. And it doesn't mean if you're aping up either. If you want something, you want to grow, you want to talk, you want to be discipled. I don't know if I can do it all now. But you know what I'm saying? You want to get, we'll get involved. We care about, we don't just don't care you know this stuff. We want you to do something with it in your heart. That's different. So you got the academics, you got us, the student affairs kind of people, the spiritual formation, you got the Bradley kind of people who want you to be able to do something with the knowledge in the heart to do something in the kingdom of God. Now, you may be very gifted by God. I don't know. And you may be able to do 1,000 things. I can do one or two. And you know, I didn't. And you hear me say stuff because I don't remember what I say, so you hear a lot of times that maybe you probably remember it, but I'm not trying to do it like a good teacher. I just didn't remember I said it. But everything started really late for me, folks. I mean, really late. I became a Christian when I was 28, but I didn't get to this place until I was 35, and they wouldn't... I didn't stop preaching until I was 40, and it wouldn't let me behind a microphone until I was 44.
And it just keeps going. We'll just stop there temporarily.
But the thing is, you want to do something. I was dying to do something. I finally found some gifts I had. What this is, they say, is one of them. And so the thing is, like Ezra, I think I told you that in a little speech, Ezra 7:10, Ezra purposed in his heart to know the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it to others. And that's what we're talking about. That's the triad. That's the school. And to kind of pound that in early about who we are. F, demonstrating understanding of the biblical principles upon which our standards are based with the goal of avoiding legalism and moving instead into a life of obedience based on love and respect for God, His Word, and others. All that to say is, I know how some we're all coming from different places. Some of you are coming from Mars, some of you are from Venus, and I don't mean men and women. Some of you have come from Brooklyn, some of you come from Georgia. But spiritually, and just in all kinds of ways, we're coming to the school in a different head. And some of you say, hey, look, I'm cool enough, mature enough, wise enough, spiritual enough. I don't need your stuff, Jermaine. And some of you are saying the same things, and I need your stuff, Jermaine. What I'm saying is I came here. I am not illegal. I am a very happy person who, you know, I'm not some kind of robot who keeps the standards. The standards are means to an end, and that's holiness. And it's a submission and all kinds of good stuff that, you know, I'm just going over the syllabus today. I when I came here, I didn't want to come here. You'll hear more about that. I came here 15 years ago when I was a mere puppy of 35. And I didn't want to come here. The Lord was doing everything He could to get me here. Well, He wasn't doing everything He could, or I'd been here instantly. But He was being very gentle and bringing me here. And I said, no. I don't want to go down there. No. I was in the mountains of North Carolina at the time. Very nice. It's hot down there. It's dirty down there. They don't drink or go to movies down there. I don't want to go down there. And I thought this place was in a spiritual straitjacket. Who's the dean? We'll talk about that. I am free and fulfilled. Took a while. Demonstrate understanding of the foundational basis of the Christian life necessary for ongoing spiritual growth, personal development, and effective ministry. Trust and obey, there's no other way, and it's not a light thing, folks. There are a lot of foundational things here. But what do you trust? Who do you trust? When don't you trust? Why shouldn't you trust? Are you over-trusting? Are you trusting in things that God never said, but you put stuff on it like a Pharisee in 1990, what year are we in? 7. And so you say, well, that's what God meant, and that's what you're doing, but you're trusting in things that God didn't want you to trust in, such as, I claim a microwave! Talk about that. Maybe you have a couple of microwaves you're claiming that you shouldn't be. Recognize the Student Affairs Division. Hi. And the role they play in your spiritual growth. And that's me, folks. Supposed to be recognizing me. I'm the Student Affairs Division. And personal development. Well, once upon a time, in 1990, nobody knew there was a Student Affairs Division. And so one of the things they wanted, of course, to be taught was so somebody would know there's a Student Affairs Division, and what in the world do they do? And so that's become one of the goals of this class, pardon me, course, that you will recognize the Student Affairs Division. And I don't know, it's like, never mind. But we'll get there. And I, evidence understanding of the unique history of CBC and the message of authentic Christian living, victorious Christian living. That's a big deal, folks. 75 years, the baton's been passed down. 75 years. Actually, it was a lot longer than ago than 75 years. I mean, Jesus Christ taught the victorious Christian life. I mean, you know, Isaiah taught the victorious Christian life. But for here, for 75 years, it's an incredible, incredible history and a credible future. The future depends on you. The history depended on them. And the baton's been given to us. I mean, you are just, I'm looking out there, a lot of you are pink puppies, you know? You're babies. And the baton's been given to you. And so you gotta know it. You got to learn it. You got to do it. You got to grow holy. You got to spiral up, and you got to teach it to others. And I'm excited. Okay, we're on page 3. Attendance required. This This part of the course is such a piece of cake. All I'm in essence, virtually, not literally, but virtually asking you to do is show up and listen with an open heart and mind. You got to do a couple things like spit. They're so easy. But show up. No more than one unexcused absence is permitted. Two or more unexcused absences. Now look, hard man. Most likely would result in the loss of the entire 50% of the final grade in order for an absence to be excused. Permission must be obtained before class. From Tina Hinner. Now, Tina Hinner is, she's my secretary, she's my boss, she's the kahunas of student affairs. If you look at the bookstore, where my office is, it's to the right, there's a little hallway down there. You know where the cashier is, you need money. You know where the bookstore is, you need books. I'm right down the hall, first office to the right. Just tell her before. We're reasonable people. I am sick. I'm having a baby. Things that we're reasonable people, why you can't make it. But don't tell us you had a child after the class. For those of you up north, I need to explain Tina's name. How many people are from what you would consider up north? Okay, good. I have enough help here if I need it. This is the southern way of spelling this woman's name. And the southern way to pronounce it, in a New York accent, is Tina Hainer. Okay? However, we northerners know that all A's are ers, E-R's, and all E-R's are A's. And so her northern name is Tina Hainer. But her southern name is Tina Hainer. So if you are from the north and you can't help but calling her Tina Hainer, it's okay. She understands because I'm her boss. Okay. Not everything is so ludicrous. B, read to know him and don't make him known. By October 10th. That book is not yet in. You know it's not in. I know it's not in. You're cool. I'm cool. Everybody's cool. The book will be in third week of September-ish. And it's a piece of cake. It's basically the history of the school. Up to a certain point in time, I want you to know it. I want you to get a hold of it, particularly this year. And all I'm going to ask you to do at a specified date, and I'll go there in a second, even though I have to start speaking like a madman because of the late start, is I'm going to ask you, did you read the book? And if you say yes on a piece of paper, you get 10 points. If you say no, you get 0 points. Some of you are going to be having your vaudeville act up here, dancing up and down the stage here, saying, well, what did you mean by read? And and you go on both extremes here, folks. Some of you will skip two words and be so stricken in conscience that you will say, I didn't read the book. That's not what I want. Some of you say, yeah. This is like reading this page for you. That's not what I mean either. I mean, read it at least to the depth of your favorite comic strip. You know, read the words. You know, think about it. That's what I mean by it. Memorize the alma mater. I always feel like it's that Lion King, you know? What's the matter with you? What's the matter? I don't know. I can't do it. Anyway, I can't do it. But memorize the alma mater. The alma mater. Now, a lot of you people are not going to like this. A lot of people who are in here, when I'm asking you to memorize the alma mater, saying, it's so stupid. Why do I... But everybody who does it is so happy they've done it. And so after one particular class of people came up and was going to hang me about it one time, I was saying, all right, we'll drop it. But that class graduated, and they insisted that everybody else following them suffer as well. But they say it's so cool. It is so cool they know it. And so just trust me. It's 5 points, but trust me. Do it. It'll be fun. A lot of people sing the alma mater to the tune of Gilligan's Island to learn it, apparently. I don't care how you do it. Read Victory in Christ. There's going to be like a 3-plus page paper due. It's the testimony of Robert C. McQuilkin. And I want you to respond. I'll talk more about that. And anyway, don't turn anything late or it's going to cost you. All right, let's turn to the back. Page 4. I've been trying to give you an idea about what this class is really about. Today is September 5th, and so we are trying to answer the question, why this? There's a lot of ways you can say this. Why this course? Or why this course? Why?
this course.
Anyway, I'm going to tell you why this course is, explaining this course, is to give you a foundation for Christian living that the devil can blow at you, and the devil will blow at you all of your life. There'll be storms, there'll be deaths, there'll be separations, there'll be injustices, there'll be Christians who turn on you like rabid wolves. And you'll say, I can't go on. It ain't worth it. And you'll be wrong. And why this course is to give you a foundation for Christian living, that the world, the flesh, and the devil can hurl all they've got at you, and you will not fall. That's why this course. What does it mean to believe? We'll be next week, next Friday, right here in River City. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know that I found, as I've gone around, that many, if not most, I don't know how to say it, many, if not most, Christians do not know what God means by the word believe. It's inviting Jesus into my heart. No name. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It is, but it isn't. Eternity is at stake on one word, on one concept, on one action, whether or not you believe in the Son of God. And as I go around, I found that many, if not most, Christians, now God's going to, you know, give us all a lot of slack. But wouldn't you like to know what eternity, what's holding, what it means to believe, and that's what we're going to talk about next week. Dead to sin, alive to God. Why did, why did Jesus come and die for you? And people will say, well, to save me from the punishment of sin. And I say, very good. Why else? But let me into heaven. I say, well, that's saving you from the punishment of sin. Or to get the Father and me together. I say, yeah, that's saving you from the punishment of sin. Why else? And the fact of the matter is, a lot of folks don't know, but it's in the Bible. We're going to be looking at it. Jesus didn't just come to save us from the punishment of sin. He came to save us from the power of sin. And that's how you get free, and that's how you get fulfilled. God wants you to know it. I got good news for you. I got good news for you for 15 weeks. The stuff that God wants you to know, and the stuff that God wants you to believe. Christ is risen. So what? Folks, I came here not understanding the importance of the resurrection. I worked here. I wasn't a kahuna. I'm a kahuna now. I wasn't a kahuna then. I worked here. I was a big enough kahuna to tell you the truth. But I realized in my secret little mind, in my secret little heart, that when people talked about, the fact of the matter is, when it came to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, maybe it's because of my Catholic background, I do not know. But when it came to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I know that Jesus, I was happy for Jesus. But I got mine at the cross. Right? And I came around whispering to all kinds of students. Grad students, you know, because they're grad students. And I didn't want anybody to know that I didn't know the importance of the resurrection. And what was incredible was, as I made my way around, I found out nobody else knew either. Not nobody, but I couldn't understand it. If they knew it, I couldn't understand it. I always left this intense conversation where I revealed that I'm absolute spiritual ignoramus working at Columbia International University. I don't know why the resurrection is important. Tell me. And at the end of the conversation, I still didn't know. I think when I finally got it, when you're a desperate man and you're struggling, you're groping, and when you find it, and you know what you've been through trying to understand it, I'm able to explain it, I think, to others. And so even if probably most of you know why the resurrection is important. But you're going to run into a lot of ignoramuses who don't. And maybe I can alert you to the fact and help you to pass it on. And if that's not a foundation for Christian living. The Seduction of Christians, part 1 and 2. You probably got the scuttlebutt on me already. And by Jonathan, in case you haven't. This is a real important thing for me. I am personally convinced that Christians are being absolutely seduced by Satan. seduced. You know what the word seduced means. We are being seduced by Satan, the world, the church, pastors. We are being seduced to sin over and over and over again while we sing songs about how we want to be holy. And I want to clang your bell. And then it's between you and God. That's what I'm going to be doing for 2 weeks. I'm going to be talking about standards, and I'm going to have a guy like Rick Swift and who knows who come in and talk about them and why we have them, what we're trying to do. Faithful in the little things. You people want to be big hoo-has in the kingdom of God, I assume. And I want you to be a big hoo-ha, but I'm going to tell you, if you better learn to be faithful in little things or God's not interested. And the fact of the matter is that statistically speaking, I mean, I don't know you personally, but statistically speaking, there are a lot of people here, just like Mr. McQuilkin said today, who who God wants you to give up something or God wants you to do something, and you're not doing it. And as long as you hold on, you will not be who you want to be, because I know how God picks his team. I know the coach very well. And so we're going to talk about that. Change your mind is a real cool message. We'll leave it at that for now, because I want to feed you people. If you want to be who you want to be, you've got to change your mind. There is a way to change your mind. I want to change your mind. I want the Holy Spirit to change your mind. The reason you are here is to change your mind. We want to change our minds together. Quiet times, we'll talk about that. Very, very important, as you well know. Flee and pursue. I'm looking at a bunch of one-legged Christians, and I want to, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, give you a second leg. Bitterness. Just want to raise the issue. I can't release you from bitterness if you have it. It's not in my power. But if you want to go on and you're bitter, you're in trouble. I want to talk about it. And Thanksgiving break, everybody enjoys that because they don't have to see me. TBA is to be announced, and that means it's something I really want to talk about, or something you really want me to talk about, or something that's because somebody kept asking a question or something that we never got to. And lastly, why this course with an exclamation point instead of a question mark, and hopefully we can rejoice in what we've learned. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, we rejoice in you. Take pleasure in our rejoicing. Help us to learn, Lord. Help us to believe, Lord. Help us to do, Lord. Help us to teach it to others. In Jesus' name, amen.